song we tell them.
We are the Titans.
We are the Tenants.
We join the Tower Tenants.
Join the Tower Tenants.
搞很多酒吧，所以唐人最憎系呢一个赌，一个酒。
He's like worried about like further developments in Chinatown because there's been talks about like turning Chinatown into some type of like casino area. And he's like, oh, there's less and less Chinese people, like Chinese businesses in the area. And he's worried like the push of them will like.Bring in those kind of developers that like want to turn it into like some type of tourist attraction type deal.
Welcome to Los Angeles Chinatown. This is Sabrina, and you're listening to Viral Love. You just heard from the residents of LA's Chinatown and members of CCDLA, which stands for Chinatown Community for Equitable Development.CCED has been working with Chinatown tenants to fight gentrification since 2012, and their work is far from over, especially during a global pandemic. But I'll let CCED introduce themselves via their newly minted TikTok account.
Stop Asian Hate is trending right now, but fighting for our community isn't temporary, it's long-term work. Since 2012, Chinatown Community for Equitable Development has been organizing in Los Angeles, building tenant power and mutual aid networks.Community members face issues like greedy landlords, gentrification, income inequality, food deserts, and police harassment. We believe in a Chinatown that is self-determined, with truly affordable housing and resources for all.
My stay in LA showed me two things. One, we're in the fight for a self-determined Chinatown for the long haul. And two, community building, whether across generations, tenant associations, ethnicity, or language, might be the most powerful,and most joyful tool at our disposal. But what is gentrification exactly, and what does it look like in the context of LA's Chinatown? Gentrification, as defined by most trustworthy sources on the internet, is a process in which a poor area of a city experiences an influx of middle-class or wealthy people who renovate and rebuild homes and businesses.This often results in an increase in property values and the displacement of earlier, usually poorer residents. But the process begins long before property values change and residents are displaced. CCD points out that gentrification is an intentional process that often progresses over decades. It usually begins with disinvesting in urban centers for an extended period of time in the wake of white flight and suburbanization.This neglect is followed by speculation from developers who buy up inexpensive properties and empty lots to install market-rate housing and hip storefronts that attract a more privileged class of dwellers and entrepreneurs. This all finally raises the price of living and operating for the neighborhood's original working-class tenants and businesses, who are eventually priced out, displaced, and forced to live and work elsewhere. In other words, gentrification is not natural.And neither were the historical processes that created LA's Chinatown in the first place. Like most Chinatowns, LA's Chinatown emerged out of necessity and then continued to be shaped by racism and civic development. Established in roughly the mid-1800s, Old Chinatown was located in the area now known as El Pueblo de Los Angeles Historical Monument.Due to a mix of explicitly racist residential policies and subtly racist landlords and property owners, the Chinese laborers who moved in often had no choice but to settle near each other and other ethnic enclaves. Old Chinatown was the site of the infamous Chinese Massacre of 1871, in which a mob of 500 laid siege to important Chinatown buildings and lynched 18 Chinese residents. Nevertheless, Old Chinatown continued to expand.And in the mid-20th century, industrialists and city leaders realized that Old Chinatown was sitting on land right next to intersecting rail lines. Developers bought the land, and Chinatown residents were evicted to make room for Union Station, which still stands today. New Chinatown, which is where LA Chinatown is now, was erected in the 1930s, and its population continued to grow and diversify when the United States removed national origin quotas for immigration in 1965. But...Developer interests never went away, and history has a way of repeating itself.
No, one of my favorite restaurants is, was Mandarin Deli. It was kind of a hole in the wall. If you're facing the restaurant, You can see the chef making the famous pan-fried dumplings. It's also famous for stewed beef soup noodle. But it's closed now. You know, replacing Mandarin Deli, these chef-driven hip restaurants, such as Chego, Pork Pork. Those restaurants cater more to the young, well-to-do professionals.
That was from a 2015 interview with King Chung, a retired California Deputy Labor Commissioner and current volunteer with CCED. What LA's Chinatown looks like today, then, is a community that is increasingly catering towards its wealthier transplants rather than longtime residents. But back to the pandemic. In the wake of the March 2021 mass shooting that killed 8 people in Atlanta, 6 of whom were Asian women, CCED and other local organizations held a community gathering in front of the Japanese American National Museum. Here's Tito, a longtime CCED volunteer.
I want to acknowledge that folks coming here today are coming here with a lot of feelings. Grief is a different process for everyone. There's shock and pain, anger, sadness, perhaps guilt. Today we process and make space for all of those feelings. Hopefully the combined efforts of all of today's speakers will move us through the hopelessness of grief into power.
As Tito goes on to explain, we've seen a resurgence in anti-Asian violence before and throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. But the slow violence of gentrification has been happening for far longer, and might help explain why Chinatown communities are so vulnerable in the first place. In other words, our understanding of anti-Asian violence must be broad.
And when we talk about class, it's about money, plain and simple. Yeah. About how money becomes more important than people's lives. If we want to talk about violence, ask yourself, are we making the same noise and paying attention when our elders and families are being evicted from their homes? Especially during a pandemic. Isn't it community violence when Chinatown's multilingual hospital closes? When our full-service grocery stores are pushed out? Where does that leave our elders? How can our elders be safe when what they need around them is destroyed? This is the economic violence that our working class Chinatown community has faced. This is what happens when an influx of luxury developers and city politicians value profit over people.
And here lies the crux of the matter. Addressing anti-Asian violence isn't a matter of locking up a few suspects or treating each incident of violence as some sort of freak accident. It's about working to address the circumstances that make elderly Chinatown residents so vulnerable in the first place. Or, as CCED puts it, we are calling for the end of systemic violence that breeds interpersonal violence.
Like an intersectional approach to like hashtag stop Asian hate. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, like you have to take into consideration some people are more vulnerable than others. Mm-hmm. Not every Asian is an equal target of mm-hmm. violence in the same way.
Mm-hmm. I think like individual acts of racism or violence is like kind of trendy and like kind of really heart-wrenching to see, of course.
Sensationalized.
But, like, that too. But yeah, most people at CCED just wanted to focus on the structural violence which gets ignored.
That was Millie and Oolong, 2 CCED organizers I had the pleasure of speaking with. We'll hear from them again. But if the issue of anti-Asian violence is as complex and at times invisible as Millie and Oolong say it is, how do we even go about addressing it? One of the primary ways that CCED tackles systemic violence is by fighting for tenant rights. And I was lucky enough to attend a tenants' rights workshop that CCED offered for the residents of Everett Street, though I wasn't able to record too much due to tenant privacy. The workshop was led by Craig Wong, who has been organizing since at least the 60s, during the protest to preserve San Francisco's International Hotel, one of the most iconic fights for tenant rights in Asian American history. He had a lot to say about my attempt to interview him, though.
First of all, you know, people who know me realize I'm full of shit.
No.
So, you know, you got to figure out what's real and what isn't. You know, some of the stuff is not real.
I'm dying.
No, the reason I try and stay out of the press is because what should the face of CCED be? Who do you think it should be? Shouldn't be me, right? Should be either younger folks or Chinatown residents or small shopkeepers, right? Much better, you know. Because look who it makes CCED go. It's young people.
Okay, Craig, you're right. It's time to talk to some young people.
Hi, my name is Jintana. I use they, she pronouns. Today we organized a tenant rights workshop on a street that we've been outreaching to a lot and connecting with different buildings on the street. Everett Street here is kind of, it's between Echo Park and Chinatown. It's on kind of like a frontier of a lot of rapid gentrification right now. And a lot of buildings that we've talked to, it seems like they have very similar issues with different landlords, or sometimes the same landlord. So we wanted to get folks together to inform them of their general tenant rights, what their landlords can and cannot do, what resources they can turn to, and really emphasize to them the power of community building, of like coming together. Yeah, know that they're not alone, basically.
Jintana, who goes by Jin for short, is a young organizer with CCED that co-led the tenants' rights workshop. And it's just as Jin says, community is at the core of everything that CCED does. Many of those in attendance, local tenants, high school students, a professor of Marxist psychology even, were showing up for the first time. But you couldn't tell from the way that people tuned in and connected with each other so immediately.
Like, just the relationship building has probably been, like, the best part. Like, meeting other organizers, meeting tenants, meeting people when I was doing, like, grocery delivery, and the warmth of genuine connection.
Yeah.
And, like, showing up to spaces and, like, knowing a lot of people already. Like, we had a protest for 920 Everett. For Victoria Vu, we start at 9:20, and because I had done outreach on this street several times, like, I texted several neighbors, like, at 9:23 or 9:65, and I was like, hey, by the way, like, can you come to this? And then they showed up, and it was like this moment of solidarity, like, yeah, we're like getting this street to, like, you know, get a little excited and, like, know that people are here to support them. And yeah, that's been really powerful.
Or take it from Tito, whose speech we heard earlier and who I met in real life at the tenant meeting.
I feel as if when it comes to, like, the reason why, like, there's so much intergenerational trauma is this idea that, like war and all, and, like, capitalism forces us, and, like, poverty forces us to be disconnected. And, like, so this community is all about reconnecting, right? Like, making those connections, and I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, oh my gosh, you're so cool. Like, you're really the coolest.
I will know, like, because these people are so cool, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, like I, like, by myself, I'm nothing, but, like, with this group of people, we are, like, the fucking coolest, truly. Yeah. I would say, like, I'm just a fan person who shows up and distracts everyone and then leaves.
Yeah.
I haven't done any of the real labor. Like, I haven't done any of the real organizing labor. Like, let's be clear. I'm just here because I have built relationships with all these folks, and I want to keep building it with them. So sometimes I have to show up at official events because
my friends are all at these meetings.
That's the thing about CCED, community. Chinatown elders aren't backing down, and neither is CCED. It's this intergenerational and multi-ethnic coalition building that has sustained the Chinatown community, and it's become more important than ever during the pandemic. More after the break.
Was yellow the hard one? I forgot. There was one that was
purple. I thought it was purple.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Taboo and Bad Karaoke, the top two options for bonding and relaxation after a long day of organizing.
Yeah. Taboo is SoPa's favorite game.
Tune into hits such as Beautiful Girls by Sean Kingston.
Yeah. Beautiful girls.
And real classics like One Direction's What Makes You Beautiful.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. You know.
A guaranteed great time.
Uh-oh. That's what makes you beautiful.
Disclaimer, I am not sponsored by Taboo or Hasbro, but I did in fact sing karaoke with the CCED team after attending the Tenants' Rights Workshop, even though I just met them that afternoon. The CCED team is just that cool.
Anything else?
After the tenants' rights workshop, I sat down with Oolong and Millie, two CCD organizers, at a nearby boba shop where the team often debriefs the day's events. The pandemic most obviously devastated Chinatown businesses, Oolong told me, but that's not the only thing that's happening.
Like, at least in the beginning or the first few months, stuff, like, business, of course, slowed down and everything, and I hear that it's been slower even before the pandemic was officially announced. And that was a very stark contrast to some of the construction work that's been going on with the newer developments. Like, everything is slowing down, the streets are emptier, but, like, I come back within a week or the next 2 weeks, and then I see, like, structures that weren't there 2 weeks ago. I'm like, how did y'all get all this done? There's so much construction work getting done during a pandemic where everything is supposedly pushed to a halt or a slower trickle of things. And it's like,
and here's Millie with one concrete example of this.
There's always a lot. There's always a lot going on. Like, you know, did you hear about Dynasty Plaza and how it's getting sold?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So that's, like, something that's really scary that's, like, coming up really fast.
For context, Dynasty Plaza is one of the last remaining shopping centers in Chinatown that actually caters to its longtime residents. It's hard to imagine, for example, elderly Chinatown residents feeling comfortable navigating Whole Foods and affording kale chips. Since this interview was conducted, the plaza did get sold, and business owners are worried. Popo, a Chinese-Vietnamese business owner who owns a clothing and accessories shop called Fortune Collection, had already moved her business once in March of 2020 when the original plaza her shop was located in was bought out by developers. Now, she's afraid she'll have to move again. But to where? Last year in March, we moved here. Now that the developers have bought this piece of land, we don't know if they'll let us stay here to do business in the future. Or if they'll build big high-rises, new buildings, or if they want to do something else. Right now, we don't really know. If they really demolish everything, there will be no more Chinatown. We can feel it. Really. Because we've been here in Chinatown for decades. Now things have been demolished to a point where there is no more Chinatown. To Chinese people, both people selling goods and people buying goods, it's really hard. One such person, Pauline, a beloved Chinatown elder who can often be found tagging along with CCD organizers to grab boba and dessert after meetings, and saying hi to fellow residents while out on her daily walk. Businesses like Fortune Collection are essential for residents like Pauline, who have settled their lives here.
And how long have you been living in that
place? Wow, 52 years.
52 years?
Yeah. Wow.
Pauline's favorite part about Chinatown? The convenience, as someone who lives by herself.
Because I every day eat the fish, because the convenience, I just walk to buy something. Mm. Yes, I don't make something to, because I don't want to buy so much, I just eat one day. 清晒了嘛，但係你如果啲嘢等得落雪櫃，唔係雪櫃唔係好。
She's saying since she lives on her own, like she's on her, like she's a singular person. She likes to buy things like day by day, because otherwise things go bad in her fridge and stuff. So she likes the convenience of being able to like step outside, buy something, and then do that again the next day.
Quick shout out to CCD organizer JJ, who you just heard translate for Pauline. Community care is at the heart of what CCD does. And perhaps nowhere was this clearer than at the All Chinatown Tenant Union meeting, which convenes different tenant associations and community members to discuss ongoing issues and share advice with each other. It's here that a more equitable and peaceful future for Chinatown is collectively reimagined.
So what I said in Chinese was to remind everyone to please like wear your masks and drink water, and if you start feeling a little unwell, maybe because of the heat or something, then don't be worried, just raise your hand so that someone can make sure you're okay.
Discussions are primarily held in Cantonese and English, but also in Spanish and Mandarin, in order to account for Chinatown's diverse residents. But no matter what language you speak, everyone gets introduced to everyone at the start of each meeting.
Ms. Chen, and she lives in Yale Street, and she also brought a lot of our tenant leaders here, actually, to our meetings. Yay! This is our tenants.
Tenants were concerned about developments. But they were also excited about empty space that could be used to bring back necessary services to Chinatown residents. Specifically, an empty parking lot known as Lot 45.
Okay, well, we talk about usually on Lot 45 every Thursday at 3.
if everybody's needed, is interested. We're talking about the empty lot, pretty much, that is doing nothing, and the right here on Spring Street. I don't know the cross. Anyways, we're fighting to see. We want to see low affordable housing for people like us that have, you know, old and sick and have families that can't afford another apartment, a bigger apartment, or whatever expensive apartment. Also, we are looking forward for markets. We need markets. Also, the most important and most of all, I think, is the laundry. Laundry mart for a lot of people that with low income as well, and it could be close by for us to go washing our clothes and have a healthy life, pretty much. But we're still waiting, so we that's what we're fighting.
Mostly, it was a lot of joyful chaos, especially once we broke out into discussion groups.
Now, this is like very reminiscent of like when all the elders go eat dim sum together but are at different tables having different conversations.
But here's something you should know. The pandemic, on top of the changing character of Chinatown, has been hard. But Chinatown elders are fighting back. This is Cynthia, yet another talented CCD organizer, and JJ.
I think that, again, with a lot of like, especially with the recent, with the anti-Asian violence and, you know, the viral clips of seniors being attacked, I think a lot of people just have this impression that our seniors are like helpless, right? And they are vulnerable, but they're not helpless and weak. They are a part of, they have community, and they are fiery and they're full of spirit and energy. And I just, I think that people feel like the way for them to protect themselves is through more violence. And I think that's been a difficult thing to combat with a lot of folks who, you know, want to find solutions to ending that violence. Yeah.
I was thinking basically the same thing, where I think there's a misconception that like our Asian elders are helpless, when in reality they're completely self-sufficient. They have their own lives, and I think they deserve autonomy with their decision making, which is something I feel like we really try to center in CCD, and we can continue to improve on that. They have their own lives, they have their own social circles, their hobbies, and I think these like clips of violence almost give like younger Asian Americans a gut reaction to tell our grandparents like stay home, like don't go out. I guess in the same way that like our parents would tell us, oh, don't have a life, just stay safe at home. I think we need to be more creative in finding solutions that allow our elders to kind of live the lives that they want without changing it much, because that's unfair of us to push like our expectations of community safety on them.
Yeah, and if I can add to that too, like I think a lot of the vision work that we do in terms of like with Lot 45, where we, you know, try to talk about what we want in an unoccupied space, and we ask tenants what they want. I think a lot of these sorts of projects, we really push for tenant voices, right? Community voices, because they're the ones who inform our work. And, you know, a lot of these tenants that we organize with are seniors, and they have a vision for what they want. Like, they certainly, you know what they want. They can speak for themselves. So.
Mm-hmm. During one of the concluding discussions on CCD's budget and their proposal to move into a new building, meeting attendee Mr. Huang suggested that leftover funds go towards a mutual aid fund, much to the raucous approval of other residents.
Very important suggestion. He said, you know, he's like, yes, if his neighbors, if they know other people in the community who's in need of the cash or the food, they'll come and tell us and let us know.
We concluded by taking a group photo, which was its own special sort of chaos. Grandmas linking arms with their grandma friends, yelling at each other to quickly get into the frame, CCD organizers trying to gather people in multiple languages.
Why did you call her Chun Kai? She's right there.
No, Huang Yi, sorry. 我们叫上. Okay, good. Okay.
我们家是不是这个？不是用，不是用。So cute.
Just excited to take pictures. Oh, just right here. Just sit down, stand, whatever you want. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
On the count of three, CCD. Because how else would you count down for a group photo at a Chinatown tenant union meeting?
Okay. Bye bye.
Thanks so much, LA. And thank you, CCD, for your A-plus karaoke skills and for challenging our definitions of violence and reimagining community despite it all. Chinatowns, like any community, are not a monolith. It's through paying close attention to these nuances and building relationships out of them that we can push for a better future. This is Sabrina, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Viral Love. For every story I've told in these episodes, there are a million more that I couldn't include. Special thanks to every person I interviewed and every person who helped me along the way in each city I visited. Their stories informed the writing of this podcast, even if they didn't make it in. In LA, that was JJ, Cynthia, Pauline, Millie, Oolong, Promise, Frankie, Solpot, Patrick, Gintana, Craig, Annie, Chris, Angelica, and many more. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by me, Sabrina, and edited by both myself and Brendan Lin. Theme music was composed and performed by Mark Fish. Additional music was sourced from Blue Dot Sessions. This podcast was produced as a part of the Xingsheng Project, a digital initiative that publishes alternative, progressive perspectives on the most widely circulated issues on WeChat and among the Chinese diaspora. To learn more, visit www.xingshengproject.org. That's www.xinshengproject.org. Viral Love is made possible by funding from Projects for Peace.